Hello, I'm Nikki Gamble, director of Just Imagine and host of In the Reading Corner. Today I'm talking to Mariaho Iristrahu, a graphic designer, printer, illustrator and creator of children's books. We're going to be talking about her picture books Flooded and Lost, but first I'm fascinated to find out what books she has in her own reading corner.
Well, in this room, which is my studio, I mainly have illustration books, graphic design, color theory and things like that. But downstairs, I have a very, very big bookshelf with children's books and illustrated albums.
Can you tell us about some of the children's books that you have in your collection?
It could be so difficult to name, but I love Isabel Arsenal, Rebecca d'Outremer. She does these wonderful, super detailed, very big, thick books. I always wondering how long she takes to produce them. Oliver Jeffers. I have a lot of illustrators from the MA in Cambridge that I did because there's so many powerful people that came from there.
Not surprisingly, there's an international theme with the books that you've mentioned. You're Spanish and you studied there initially. Can you tell us something about that background?
I studied illustration in Spain in the art school Arte Diez. That was a clear decision. Since I was very, very little, I always wanted to be an artist. I don't know if I wanted to be an illustrator because probably I didn't know what an illustrator was, but I knew that I wanted to draw. But when I was in the high school, we made a couple of trips to the Fine Art University, and then we went to this school, which was illustration, graphic design, and photography. Oh, and traditional printing processes. So I really fell in love. It was like, yeah, this is what I wanted to do. When I finished my studies as an illustrator, I started working a little bit. In a serendipity way, I ended up working in a studio where it was a shared space. Graphic designers, photographers, web developers, fashion designers, and other illustrators. So thanks to that community, I started to have a little bit of work because sometimes what happened, it was maybe like a web designer who had a client which needed illustrations and we passed work around. So that was great. And then because I always been very, very curious and I like to learn new things, I decided to study graphic communication. Through that, I have the opportunity to move to Bath. They have an Erasmus program, which sadly was just for 4 months. But I got accepted in the University of Bath. Once I got accepted, I sent an email asking if I could finish the course because it was just 4 months and the program was quite different to Spain. So when I get back to the art school, it would be quite difficult to like match the grade. So I said, like, oh, if I could finish there at least the year, it would be great. They say, yes, you can stay. And then one of my tutors was Tim Biner, quite famous illustrator. And I have a chat with him and he said, why don't you finish the degree here? He helped me to apply to all the government fees. I stay and finish the degree in Bath.
Can you explain the differences between graphic communication and illustration?
Well, in the art school, they teach you about all things. When I finished my degree, I was illustrating like restaurant menus or illustrations for a website. I used to do like a lot of murals. With graphic communication, it was more focusing all graphics. We did a little bit of packaging and magazines. Well, actually, it was quite interesting the first year because the education system is really different from Spain. It's quite free. You don't have lectures every day. Whether in Spain, you have classes from 9:30 to 3:30 and it's one subject after another. You have the full day with teachers. Whether here I arrived, my English was really bad. And I thought I was just missing things. And I was like, am I missing classes? And the first year, it was really difficult because I have a lot of modules, proper computer-related programming in Java. We have to finish like a very quick video game. For me, that was a nightmare. I mean, Java and C++, it was like an alien language that I couldn't understand. Then we have like a 3D module as well that we have to create a 3D room. I was like, God, if this is going to be the degree, I'm going to suffer quite a lot because I don't think it's what I expected. I was really, really lost. But then actually in the second trimester, we have things that it was more like traditional printing processes. So I did a little bit of screen printing, lithography, which I really fall in love. And I was like, right, this is more what I wanted. So at the end, even though I did graphic communication, it was really related for me with illustration.
I know you love travel. And you had an opportunity to do a residency in India. How did that come about?
Yeah, that was another serendipity moment in my life because when I was in Bath, I was studying, but also working really hard because I needed to pay rent. I was working in restaurants and as I work in two restaurants at the same time. I didn't have much illustration work. At some point, I was like, what am I doing here? I thought to move to London. It's quite difficult. The people that live in Bath. They don't move. It's not like in London. There is more movement and it's always positions available. So I didn't get really a job and I was thinking, how long I'm going to stay working as a waitress. So with the people that I live, they suggest, why don't you come back for a little while to Spain? Think about it. You can still apply for jobs to the UK, but you're just thinking to move to London and maybe it's not in London, maybe it's in Bristol, maybe it's in Manchester. Maybe once you're there, you see where you move. So, well, maybe yes, I can go back, spend some time with my family and think what to do next. And while I was there, I spoke with one of my best friends, which is an amazing artist. And she told me that she got this residency in India. And I was so jealous because India was one of my top countries on the list that I wanted to visit. And it was like the perfect combination of traveling to India and do printing processes. And I thought, oh, what a dream. And funny enough, one day she texts me and say like, Mariajo, they're asking me if there are more Spanish artists that want to join. Send me the portfolio. So she actually sent it for me. And one day I was in a chain of emails saying that I was upset and we were basically planning when to fly, which is stupid of me. I doubt to go because at that time I wasn't that long with my partner, that he was living in Ghana and it was the only month that I could see him. So I thought, oh, I shouldn't go because when he comes to England or to Spain is when I'm in India. So I decided not to go. But then my friend again, she texted me and I was like, don't be such an idiot and just go. And yeah, when I told my partner, he was like, yeah, go. We will find a way to see each other. It's fine. It was this amazing place of someone really rich who loved art and create this place in the middle of a jungle. It was sort of like a small houses for two people. And then it was a common area for having dinner and lunch. And then it was two big studios with presses and another one for ceramics, I think like for a sculpture. So yeah, we were in the printing studio and it was amazing because we have stones that we could use. They have like huge pieces of wood that we could carve. They were like, yeah, use whatever you want. Whatever you need, just tell us and we go and pick it up.
Which is amazing because actually it's very expensive. Materials are so expensive.
The materials that they were there, they were included. The only thing that we needed to pay was for the paper. A couple of times we went to the city to buy whatever paper we wanted.
What an experience. What did you take away from that?
For me, it was lithography. One of the guys, he's really good with lithography and he teach me. We have the stones, which I got really scared because the first one that I used, I cracked it. And I was like, oops. But then we also have more modern version, which was the aluminium plates. I just love it. Obviously, I try a little bit of xylography with wood. I really like the lithography because it was like, oh, this is the best printing process that fit my work. If you do different colors, it's like a screen print without the palaver that you have to clean the screens that I found it exhausting the process. But also you can keep your own line. You're drawing like with a very thick pencil. It just maintains your line. So I thought it was just gorgeous. With the thing that obviously with all traditional printing processes, it's a little bit of error when you print it. And this is why it makes it so magic.
Do you still use the lithography?
I use it a lot when I was at the master's because we have access to a wonderful printing room. But that is the tough thing, to find a place to do it.
You are a graduate from the Cambridge School of Art, Anglia Ruskin MA in children's book illustration. Tell us a little bit about what you did on that course.
I always been a big fan of children's books. since I finished in the art school in Madrid is what I wanted to do. It didn't happen until now, I think, because it just meant to be. I'm probably quite happy that it happened this way, because probably if I would publish something 10 years ago, I would hate it right now being out there. I wanted to do this master's for a long, long time, because when I was in this studio in Madrid, Marta Altés was there for a while. I think when she was in the studio, she just came back from Cambridge. She talked to me about the master's. I think when I arrived to the master's, the job from the tutors, which they did really well, it was like, shape me. And I think this is something they actually told me, like, word by word. We know what you can draw, but what else can you offer? And if I would have done that after the art school, I don't think I would have got so much. You don't learn to do things. So the art school is like experience and working with clients and finding your own voice. When I finished the degree in Spain, I didn't have any voice. I was trying to figure out who I was as an artist.
Now, you've got two published children's books, and the first one was Flooded. Was that part of your degree project?
Yeah, it was. Both Lost and Flooded were part of the degree. But actually, Lost is the first one that I did. Thanks to Flooded, to the initial artwork, is when I won the World Illustration Awards. Also, 2 months before I won that prize, it was selected by the Unpublished Picture Books from the Pictures. My editor texted me just before the World Illustration Awards. It was through the Pictures that she saw my project and she liked it. I think it's because it just have more exposure.
Flooded is a story that's rendered in pictures. It's about a flood in a city. There are lots of little creatures that are noticing what's going on, but finding it really hard to get the bigger animals to take notice until it's almost too late. And then they work together to try and solve the problem. But again, it's the little animals that notice what needs to be done.
The story behind Flooded, it was properly long. That was my second project in the MA, and I was trying to achieve so many things. I was trying to find like a new visual language as an artist. First of all, to crack that, find what was this thing that I was trying to find that I didn't know what it was. But at the same time, I was trying to find a story. And we have all summer to think on this idea and things like that. And we came in September, like quickly to show what we were doing over summer. And I was experimenting a lot. I was in the printing room, but I didn't have any ideas. And I was so stressed because everyone came like, oh yeah, I have this and that. And I was like, oh God, I got nothing. So we have the first tutorial and my teacher, Ellie, she was looking at it and she was like, you're telling me that you don't have any ideas, but I'm looking at this lithography that you did. It was animals in a platform in Oxford Circus in London, and three colors. And it was basically like Rush Hour, but with animals. She was like, you're saying that you don't have any ideas, but this image is really quite like illustrative. It's telling a story. Why don't you start working from this and see where it goes? And basically, I started trying to find a story from one single image, which was really hard. So I started to think, what is happening? There are animals, there is a city, why are they running? Why is this kind of mix of animals that they are all from the jungle, the sea? And little by little, I started to draw scenarios where the animals were working in an office or going to buy a coffee or things like that. And it was just coming back from Cambridge. It was raining a lot. The idea came like, oh, what if the city get flooded? And I started to draw like a lot of animals wearing pickle jars in their heads or goggles or flippers, I think it's called. Like it was this giraffe wearing like wetsuit, like trying to cope, but carry on with their lives. I might say that at the beginning, it was almost like a script for a movie. It was so long and I have so many ideas that I didn't have like a definite story of my tutorials. It was like, right, what is this about? How you make this into a children's book story? Like it's just 32 pages or 40 max. Basically, it was like, cut your darlings. It was a page that I really loved, that it was basically very similar to the initial page where the idea came from, that it was this panda bear and something else talking in the station, blaming the politicians, basically, why everything was flooded. And I cut this page, which I really like, but it didn't make sense.
It's interesting because both of these books are such strong visual storytelling. And I wondered whether you ever thought of them as wordless books.
As I said, Flooded, it was almost like a script for a movie. So I think it was always like a lot of writing that I have to cut down. With Lost, it was completely the opposite. Initially, Lost, it was almost like a wordless book. It had just like a few words like, hello,
oh, can you help me?
It was not much, but the feedback, they all said the same, told me that they were interested in the book, but they found really difficult to sell a book that was wordless. The conclusion was that I think quite difficult for parents to try to tell the story where they cannot read the words.
It's interesting. I think a lot of picture books clearly do need the words, but it's interesting those that perhaps don't, and where stories can be co-created. It does feel a little bit as though you're telling your own story here.
Yes, for me, Lost is like my baby. I guess it's because, like you say, it's a little bit of my own story. It was me coming to a different country that, even though Spain and England, they are not that different in culture, but quite difficult, especially if you don't speak the language as well. I think in particular is a page in the book when he's asking for help in the tube. He's kind of like, oh, can you help me? And the lady in the tube hands him the London tube map. And he's like, everything is in there. And sometimes when you're so lost, you almost need someone to hold your hand and point it out in the direction. You know everything is in the map, but you don't know how to read the map.
So we're looking at the front cover, and the cover image shows a polar bear reading the city map. Fantastic perspective of the bear and then these tall tower blocks reaching up to the sky. Was that always going to be the cover?
This was really, really similar to the one that I initially designed, with a few improvements from my designer. Because at the beginning, it was the buildings seen from below. But the only thing that we saw from the bear, it was the pointy nose. But then she suggested it would be better if we can see the bear, maybe with a map or something. I thought it was a great improvement.
Tell us a little bit while we're looking at this cover, how you created your images.
For this one, it was acrylic paint and color pencils. Obviously, this book, it has Pantone, like flooded, actually. And that is something that you need to create in Photoshop. But the rest is all doing manually, traditional. Just draw, draw, draw.
So flooded was a much more restricted color palette.
Yeah, I might say, like, in the same way that it was a long process to create this story, that's something that makes sense. With flooded, because I was trying to find a new way of working and a line. And I think the page where they are in the escalator going up and down, I did that page like 10 different times. With color, with acrylic, with collage, with ink. And it was like in the last minute where I was most desperate that I couldn't find what I was trying to look for. I did like a very quick 10 minutes ink line in a very bad paper. And that was the one that I was like, this works. Special, I think, because the protagonist of the story is the water. And then obviously the tamarind monkey. So just having the spot color for his tail, it was just enough.
I'd like to just take a look at a couple of spreads inside Lost and for us to talk about them. Perhaps you'd like to choose a couple.
Yeah, so this is the page where there are four vignettes, two in each page, when finally they arrive to the girl's house. In the first one, we see the bear in the entrance, and then they are in her room, and then having dinner, and then having a bath. I think this is my favorite page for different reasons. I love the color and the vignettes, what is happening in each one. But it's, again, that thing that finally he found someone kind enough to help him. But it's also that disappointment moment when it's like, oh, thank you, but this is not what it is.
One of the things that we notice in this book is the many different ways in which you use the page. This one, we have four vignettes. Sometimes I'm looking at the end paper, which is very empty, just that pink colour and then the polar bear. But there's a lot in here that's going to surprise us every time that we turn the page.
I also like to add small details. It's not relevant to the story, but I love in the entrance that rack. It's probably the kind of rag that I would love to have in my house.
I also like in the scene that we're looking at with them eating pizza, they're so absorbed in their own world, this polar bear and girl. But there are adults. We only see their hands and we can only imagine what they're thinking, or even if they can see it at all. You know, maybe they can't see what's going on.
Yeah, I think in my initial dummy, the parents were even less present. But the mum is more present in the final book.
Should we choose one more spread to have a look at?
Yeah. I think I quite like when he's getting into the North Pole that he's in the basket, but he's from above all his friends and family.
You can see the sea and the North Pole, all the bears there in the background, seeing and expecting, like looking up, like, oh, what is coming? Because obviously they cannot see what is in the basket. I think mainly I like this one for the pure how it looks, because the colors and the perspective. And I love that he is smiling because he is finally seeing his family there, and they are all with those intriguing faces, like, oh, what is that?
It's interesting listening to you talk about the things that you enjoy in the pictures. So rather than talking about the layout or the design or the material or the problem solving, you've talked very much about the emotional content.
Yeah, that is actually true. Probably it's because illustration, especially children's books, is sometimes a little bit daunting because you're putting yourself out there. This is all me. But I guess, yeah, it's quite interesting that I talk about that, because I guess it's what I'm more thrilled about, it, like how you show emotions through images. My other half always said, like, I don't understand how you create so many emotions with two dots and one line for the smile.
And of course, that's how a reader's going to experience the book emotionally.
Well, if there is a response, that is great. Because also, ultimately, I do what I can do. If people perceive it in the same way, that is great.
These first two books that you have created have come out of your studies. But now, presumably, there are more books on the way, but you're probably having to produce them in a different way, specifically for publication. Does that change the way you work?
It just changed in one way, and is that I have less time to experiment. The good thing about the masters is all the time that I spent there, it was basically experimenting and playing. 80% of my time, it was just for experimentation. Sadly, I don't have as much time to experiment, like for endless hours trying to find a way. So with the third book that I'm working, I finished Lost, came back from Bologna. We're sketching up Mitchell because we already signed the contract and we have the release date for that third book. But books are almost produced with a year in advance from publication day, because you need to send proofs and then printing. All that takes a lot of time. So basically, I have from March to now to finish the artwork. So it was like, right, I arrived to the meeting and I was like, what do you have? And I didn't have a written story, because what happened with these books, they were already written stories that they just need to be polished. Whether now it was like I start from zero, like, right, what you have? And I was like, oh. So I have a few images, like, again, like in Flooded, I have this image that I think this could work this way. And basically I present two or three ideas and they like one, which is about not liking reading. I wasn't a great reader when I was a child, so it's about that.
Well, one thing I am sure about is that your stories are going to engage and delight young readers. Your strong visual storytelling will definitely appeal to many who respond to imagery. It's been fascinating to talk to you today. Thank you. Thank you for listening to In the Reading Corner. You can discover more about Just Imagine at justimagine.co.uk.